Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 10. I know I got a tough job today holding your attention after all of that. See, Brian and Steve knew what they were doing. They got through before this. Open your Bibles to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to read from verse 32 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through verse 39. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God we have in our hands. We thank you for salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word one more time. We thank you for every person gathered here. Lord, we thank you for all these little children that have studied your Bible and sung some songs and given praise to you this week, and all those that worked with them. We pray, Lord, you would raise them up and help them to trust you and live for you, and Lord, bring honor to you, and that, Lord, you'd bless their lives. Now, Lord, I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak today that only your Spirit can give and touch every life in this room. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I started on a complete different tack here this week. And then as this morning came about, I went to this particular verse right here, and it just touched my heart. I thought about it. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Hope so. Look at verse 32. Call to remembrance the former days. Call to remembrance the former days. Now, maybe that's an old man's pastime, okay? I understand that. As a young person, you're always looking forward. You're just always looking forward. You get old, you start looking back. And maybe Paul was old when he wrote this. I'm not sure how old he was. But at any rate, he made a statement here as he's talking to the Hebrews. This is basically a book written to Jewish Christians. And it has some things in it hard to be understood. But there are also some tremendous principles in this book. Call to remembrance the former days wherein you were illuminated. Do you remember when you were illuminated? Praise God, I do. Hey, you all know my testimony so much that you guys give it for me about half the time. Hey, and that's all right. It is my testimony, and at least you know it. I taught you something. Amen? You know something, don't you? At any rate, what a wonderful day in my life when the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart and brought light. You got light today? You got light? You remember when you walked in darkness? Well, I tell you what, you ought to look back sometime. Every once in a while, these little things disturb us. Have you noticed how many little things bother us? Have you noticed how many little things can discourage us, can whip us, can get us to the place that we're not really... Why, some of you quit church. Why, you just, I'm so tired, I'm so whipped, I'm just going to stay home. Now, some people this morning, there was so much flood and rain, they stayed home. I can preach to them, see they're not here. Wait when they come, I'll get them back. He said, remember the former days after ye were illuminated. I think back and I look at what the Lord did in my life, and I'm still thankful for the change. What a wonderful change came in my life. We got a song we sing. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. He's talking to some people that went through a lot tougher times than any of you've even gone through. He's talking to some people here that went through some tough times. You know, there's some people around the world going through some tough times right now. We have an unusual situation. The American Christianity is an unusual situation because we are in a nation where it's right. It's free. We can actually preach the gospel. Somebody paid a price a lot of years ago for us. Somebody paid the price so we could preach. People went to jail. People were beat up and killed. Some fellows went out and evangelized, and preachers were beat up, and some of them were killed, and Christians were abused and whatever. And that's because they went through those things, you and I have the freedom that we have today. And I look back sometimes, and I think upon my life, and I think of the blessings of my life, and you know, it's good to look back sometimes. It's good to look back. Do you remember when you got light? Do you remember what Jesus did for you? Do you remember the change? I heard Brian giving his testimony about testifying to his family, and I remember those days. I remember when Brian didn't know exactly how to approach because his family didn't know how to receive him. I can remember my family was Christians and they didn't know how to receive me. My daddy, the biggest shock he got in his life was when I got saved and surrendered to preach. Oh no, my boy preacher. No. And surely he got to made a mistake somewhere, you know. But it wasn't long. He didn't think I'd made a mistake. He thought maybe he'd back me up at everything that I was doing. He was happy that I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you make a change, other people around about you aren't always going to agree with it. Sometimes it happens to be absolutely violent. Some of the Christians, that brothers that we have in Mexico today, when they got saved, their family kicked them out of the house. There's some people, when they get saved, their families have a funeral service and consider them dead because they walked away from their religion, the religion of their tradition, the religion of their family, or the religion of their nation. There are places around the world today to openly preach on a street corner would put you in jail and might bring you to death. If you led some people to Jesus Christ in a Muslim country today, the penalty for changing that man's religion is death. I tell you, we've got it made. We are blessed. Well, he said, look back on the former days which you were illuminated. And then he said, you endured. Now, this group endured a great fight of afflictions. Let me ask you something today, my dear Christian friend. Has somebody told you that when you get saved, all your problems will be over? They lied to you. No. That's not the way it works. When you get saved, you're liable to have some afflictions. I've known people to get saved and lose their marriage. I've known people to get saved and lose their job. I've known people to get saved and then get sick and just everything go wrong. God did not promise you everything was going to go right for you. And if that's what you're thinking, you won't last very long in your Christian testimony. As you walk through life, you better be ready to meet some kind of affliction because affliction is going to come your way. Troubles and trials and tribulations, they're a part of life. But how much more so in some people's lives when they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? Here he's talking about them and he tells about this group. He said, these afflictions, and he talks about the afflictions, and one of them is being a gazing stock. Now, what's gazing stock? Well, when you go out here to the stock show, rodeo, if you go to the right, on the right day, say about the first Friday of the rodeo, you'll see great gazing stock. They got all these beautiful cattle. I mean, they've got boys and girls, men and women out there with blow dryers, curlers. I mean, they're curling the hair on those cows and sheep and goats and pigs. Great big pigs. They're beautiful animals. And you know what they're there for? They're there for you to walk by and look at. And they're there to be compared and looked over and judged. I remember Verlene and I were watching this last year, this, I guess, February. We were watching the judging of these steers that had been raised up. Beautiful animals. Good night. They listed them out there and the judges going back and forth and they were looking them over here and looking them over there and they were walking around them and made them lead the animals, great big animals, little bitty kid this high, leading a great big old bull, you know, around. And they begin to pick them out. This is number one, number two, number three, number four, right on down to number 10. I couldn't tell the difference between number 10 and number one. They were absolutely gorgeous. They were fat. They were beautiful. They were formed. They had everything right. Gazing stock. We don't like to be a gazing stock, do we? You know why some of us are very quiet in our testimony? We don't want anybody looking at us. We don't want to be put on the spot. We don't want to be singled out. Well, these Christians got singled out, he said, gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. You know, when you take a stand for Jesus Christ and something happens to you, when you stand up as a testimony, when you go on the streets and preach, or you go out and you knock at somebody's door, or you pass out a tract to somebody at work, or you walk up to your family and say to them, I've gotten saved, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, I don't have the religion you had, I wish you had what I have, they're not going to understand you. They're going to misunderstand you. And all of a sudden, you're going to stand out. Used to be a relative that every time I would go to a barbecue or a party, he would get me in a group of men, our women, and tell a dirty joke to me. Because I was a preacher. I hated to go to those parties. I didn't like going to those parties. I didn't want to be singled out. You know, I didn't want to have him come up to me. Now, how am I going to react? What if I react wrong on the right time? I've hurt somebody. I brought some damage. These Christians here, as they look back on their past experience as a Christian, when they were illuminated, when they first got saved, when the light of God first came into their heart, and they were a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, they stood out. And then he said there was another thing they did. Whilst you became companions of them that were so used. You know, sometimes you stand out because of who your friends are. Who do you pick for friends? Are you gonna stand on the side of somebody that's not popular? Well, it wasn't very popular to be a Christian these days. Now today a politician's gotta be a Christian to get elected. Almost. I mean, we've got it down to where we've got Christianity bred into our society, into our government, and everything else. A certain brand of Christianity, a certain very mild form of Christianity. But back in this day, that wasn't so. It hadn't always been so in our country either. By the grace of God, a tremendous benefit, a tremendous blessing, that is the benefit that you have today. But he said, but you became companions of them that were so used. I wonder, Paul said in one of his letters that many of his friends, loved ones, companions, servant of the Lord had deserted him. You know, it gets sort of hard visiting a guy when you got to go to jail to visit him. I don't know whether many of you have ever gone to a jail to visit, but any of these preachers have. And I tell you what, some of you, maybe some of your relatives in jail or whatever, you had to go visit them sometime. I've been to jail. It's not a nice place to be. I remember I went to Huntsville to witness to an inmate in Huntsville, and I made the trip up there. Al Schreiner drove with me, and we drove up there and visited Cindy when she was in college there, and went on over to Huntsville and went inside. I did not like it when the doors went clang behind me. I say, what if they have a riot today? Today, they'll have a riot. What if electricity goes off today? What if identification ceases? What if Y2K happens today while I'm inside a jail visiting? And they can't tell me from one of the inmates. You know what? Old Paul was in jail, and when you went to visit him, you had to go through a search, and you had to go through an interrogation, and you had to go through some other things in order to get around him. And he said, you became companions of them that were so used. I want to know who your affiliation is with. When the day comes that you have to make a choice between family and Christ, which way do you choose? When the day comes, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Whose feelings are you going to hurt? Well, here are a group of Christians, and Paul is reminding them, bringing back to their minds. He said, the days you were illuminated, do you remember how you were made a gazing stock? Everybody looked at you. You were the center of attention by reproach. You weren't the center of attention because you were the Spurs winning basketball games. No, you were the center of attention because you were stupid, dumb Christians. You were these foolish people who had thrown their lives away by stepping out for Jesus Christ. He said, do you remember those days? And remember you also, you became companions of people that were used like that. What kind of Christianity do you have today? Is it the kind that would stand with Paul? Is it the kind that could stand on a street corner and pass, maybe you can't preach, but can you stand on a street corner and pass out tracts for those who do? Maybe you can't go to the mission field, but you're the kind that backs them up, invites them to your house when they come around here, prays for them, sends money to them every month, keeps them on the line. What kind of church do you want? Are you one of those that can't stand a church that preaches hard doctrine? Are there a lot of people like that? There are a lot of people that love to be a member of a church that's got 3,000 seat auditorium. You know why? They can walk in and out whenever they want to, and nobody knows whether they're there or not. So there's nobody calling them on the phone and said, hey, we missed you. You've been gone for a while. How come you're getting backslidden? What are you trying to do? Mess your life up? You walk through the door and somebody says, hi, backslider. Haven't seen you in 2 or 3 weeks. They don't do that at those big places. They don't know you from Adam. They don't have a clue as to who you are, how often you come. I don't know how they handle the visitor's cards. It must be some special way or something like that because they don't know who's visiting, who's not. What kind of a church do you stand by? You know, that makes a difference in your life. Let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to make a difference not only in your life, make a difference in your kids' lives. It'll make a difference in your old age. There's a lot of things you don't think matter right now, but oh, they do matter. They matter because somewhere down the line, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or 40 years from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, some of the decisions you've made along this way, the companions you've chosen are going to affect your life. But not only that, they're going to affect your eternity. He said, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Verse 34 is just such a blessing. You had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Hallelujah. Paul needs a new coat. Ah, yes. I've got a new coat. Oh, I saved for this new coat. I worked for a year on this new coat, but Paul needs a new coat. Paul, hey, welcome to my coat. And Paul says, I'm just amazed that you took so joyfully the spoiling of your good, your thing. You know, when the Jews went out of Egypt, they spoiled Egypt. They carried the riches of Egypt out. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about somebody that could give for time you spend a nickel. Is that right? You squeeze it so hard? In fact, I've heard that some of you are deformed. The Bible says, where your treasure is there, will your heart be also, and your heart's right here. It's in the wrong place. You old tightwad, you skin flint, you stingy gut. I've had people leave the church for that. It's not the first time I said it. To joyfully, the spoiling of your goods. I tell you what, if the missionaries had to stay on the field because of your offerings, they wouldn't have one of them there. And I guarantee you, if Bob was going to the field on what you've given, he'd never get there. Some of you, amen or oh me. Hey, it was right here in the book. I mean, you know, I didn't go hunt for this thing. It's right in the passage I'm dealing with. I got to preach on money. You say, why do you like to do that? Because I know you hate it. I love it because you get so uncomfortable. I mean, boy, you start to move. Are you moving around the seat right now? Just sort of trying to find a comfortable spot. Well, give a little bit and you'll get happier. Amen. Amen. Uh-oh, lost my place. I bet I can find it again. Ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You know why some poor Christians throughout the years could give? They know there's going to be a better substance in heaven. And you know why you will learn to give if you ever get enough faith to believe God's going to have a payback time one of these days? He is. God's going to pay better than any stock market ever was. There's not a mutual fund in the world that can pay like God pays. Amen. But it takes faith to believe that because you live down here, and by the way, you live in such a rich time. You almost don't need God. You got insurance when you get sick. You can go see a doctor. When I was born, you didn't hardly call the doctor. I mean, the doctor actually came out to the house on a farm 20 miles out of town, and I was born in the living room of that house. And I think they paid him with eggs and chickens and whatever. They didn't have any money. Right in the middle of the Depression, they didn't have anything. Why, some of you got 4 televisions in the house. You have 3 cars sitting in the driveway. You got every kind of thing on your computer, every bell and whistle that could possibly be. You got not 2 pairs of clothes. I remember during the Depression, my dad had 2 khaki clothes. He would wear one day. Mama would wash and iron the other one, hang it out on the line. He'd come in, he'd change the next day. And one day somebody stole his new khakis. Then he just had 1 pair of clothes to go to work in. You got a closet full of them. And some of you say, I have nothing to wear. I just have nothing to wear. No, you got 45 different pair of pants. And you can't figure which one of them fits you today. Amen or oh me. You don't have enough room on the floor of your closet for all the shoes you got. Amen. Knowing in yourselves that in heaven you have a better and enduring substance. You know, it's not too bad to give up something to get something better. And I tell you the truth. The Bible says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. That's an interesting verse. He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. I give it to the poor expecting nothing back from it, and God considers it a loan. You think God pays his debts? Man, I want you to know he pays them big time. You can't outgive God. God is a giver. If you're godly, you will be a giver. If you're not a giver, you're not very godly. If you don't have it in you to give, you ought to take somebody out to eat every once in a while. You ought to go buy somebody a pair of shoes every once in a while. You ought to go out, you ought to support a missionary every month. You ought to be giving to the work of God and to think, hey, have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Bless your hearts, the greatest good news anybody ever got. Well, how did it get to you? Somebody sacrificed to get it to you. Somebody paid a price. Somebody sacrificed that the gospel could get to you. He said, take a look back, and you ought to look back. How did you get illuminated? Have you looked back at the price that was paid for you? I had a wife that was a Christian. I had a mother and a father that were a Christian. I was in a church where there were some Christians, and they actually came and visited and talked to me. I moved all the way out into Roswell, New Mexico in the Air Force, and I'm there on Walker Air Force Base. 2 of the men working with me were preachers. 2 of those men, civilian employees of that base, witnessed to me over and over again. I don't know how many times, 5 times, 10 times. And I was having a big time. I'd tell them a dirty joke, and they'd say, oh, walk away from me. Say, I deserve some of what I got. Verlene says she didn't deserve it, but. Well, she married me. That sort of put her in the fail, see. You look back on the illumination. You look back on the salvation. Look back on the cost. You look back on the people that knocked on your door. I had a friend come to my house and say, I want to talk to you about the Lord. I had a preacher come with him the next time, and they talked about the Lord. And then I went into a church with an auditorium similar to this, seat about 500, and he talked to me, and I'm sitting way back at the back. There were 500 people in that place, and the man had been talking to my wife. No, the Holy Spirit decided to touch my life. Woo! Some light came in. Somebody says, you're crazy. You're cracked. Yeah, that crack's where the light shone through. Amen. I'm glad I got a little cracked. I'm glad there was a crack in my veneer. I'm glad there was somewhere where the light could come in. I look back on illumination, and I look back on some sacrifices. I look back on some struggles. I look back on some stands where you had to either stand alone or stand with people that are despised. Oh, but those are good days, because you know that in heaven you have a better and an enduring substance. Now, I don't know how far or what you went through, but some of you in this room, when you look back on your salvation and what you had to pay, you paid a price. You paid a price. You didn't pay a price for your salvation. You got saved because Jesus gave you your salvation. But after you got saved, you're still here because you were willing to take a stand for Jesus or for the people of God or for the Word of God, and you stuck by it, and some people had to drop off. That's the way it goes. Don't expect that you're going to get saved and everybody you know is going to love it. They're not. Some people pay a very heavy price. Some of us pay a much lesser price. But there's a price to be paid to get on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a price to be paid to stand on the side of the Word of God. There's a price to be paid if you're going to stand for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when you're going through these afflictions and trials and troubles, how do we act? How do we think? Most of us have a real baby attitude. Poor me. They even write songs like, why me? You ever think that? Why me, Lord? Some of you, if you just get in a long line in the grocery store and they get a check stopped up there at the front, you say, why me? Hey, I must have hit a nerve. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I've already made up my mind that whichever line I get in has troubles. And ain't no sense me switching, because if I switch, the trouble will switch. I don't even worry about it anymore. See, but that took a lot of years. That took a lot of years of experience of switching lines, and then the guy in front of me gets a check all messed up, or they don't have a tag on a 2-cent item. Or this lady's buying Halloween costumes for 4 different families, so she's writing 4 different checks. I can't believe it. All I want to spend is $5. It is amazing how much we allow things to upset us and to take away our attitude. He said they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, and you can't even take joyfully a little bit of patience in life. You know, there's a lot of things going to happen to you in life, and most of them don't matter. You know what really matters is your attitude towards receiving it. Hey, if you're lucky, you'll get old and get sick. If you're unlucky, you'll die young and healthy. But you might be lucky enough to get old enough to have problems. Well, I'll tell you what, in the problems, that's trouble. What kind of attitude do we have? What kind of an outlook on life do we have? Well, I'll tell you what, if we'd keep heaven in view every day. He said these people were able to take the things because they knew in heaven they had better. I don't mind giving you this coat. I got a better one at home. I don't mind giving you these shoes. I got more at the house. I don't mind giving you this food. I've got a closet full of it. Right? Well, how about when you lose some things like some of the refugees have lost, when you lose, like some of them, I noticed their houses burned down and they didn't have some things. Listen to me. It's the same thing. In heaven, you have a better and an enduring substance. And so you need, by attitude of life, you ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Your sins are gone. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you die, you're going to go to heaven because Jesus paid the debt for you. You walking around in a Christian nation with Christian friends. You can actually go out and worship God on any given Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. You're not restricted as to when you can do it. You were taught to read and write. Everybody cusses the public education system today. If you read and write, it's because of them. Well, don't fuss too much about it. I'll give you a hard time. They're not perfect, They're what you've made them. By your lawsuits and your laws, they're exactly what you've made them. And I never taught at a public school that didn't have some real, solid, born-again Christian. Everyone I taught at, every single one of them, there was somebody there that stood up for Christ. There was somebody there that gave a testimony. There was somebody there that was faithful to their church and their home. Everyone I went to, I saw some real good teachers. Hey, you read and write, you got a Bible in your hand, you can read it. Thank God, you ought to be praising God, you ought to be jumping in there. Got a bunch of little kids up here being taught the Bible and some precious songs. Hey, I knew I couldn't hold your attention today. I know about kids. I had five. And mine were the most beautiful kids in the world. Now, I saw some other scungy little things around, but nothing like mine. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you? All right, he's going to give some advice. Here's some people that have gone through tribulation and trouble and trial, and they stood. Here's some people that were illuminated. They were brought out of darkness and brought into light. They'd got into the right crowd with the right people with the right gospel. He says, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence with that great recompense of reward. Here were people so confident of the future they could give up what they have here. Here are people that were so confident of the future and what Jesus Christ had said and the Word of God had said that it didn't matter what they lost here to follow Jesus Christ. Now, he says, don't give up your confidence. What happens if you lose your confidence in tribulation? Well, earlier in this chapter says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I could take you in this town, and I've been pastoring this town a lot of years. I could take you into homes this morning of people who used to teach Sunday school. I could take you into the house of a man that could preach circles around most evangelists. He could preach. He could preach. He got discouraged. He quit. Got a little bit hard one day, so he didn't do it. It was easy the next time, and the next time, the next time. Before long, you wouldn't know he was a preacher. I'll bet you the people that work with him right today wouldn't know he's a preacher. Ah, but he could preach. Do I believe he was saved? Yeah, I believe he was saved. You don't want to give up your confidence. Now, when you start getting down and you start getting discouraged, you need to think about something here. The Bible's still true whether you're discouraged or not. Yes. You see all this rain around us, the sun's still shining. Oh, it may not be falling on the spots you're on today, but the sun's shining. And let me tell you what, it ain't going to rain every day. It might rain a lot of them. I heard about one of the Hawaiian islands that gets 400 inches of rain a year. That's too much rain. I'll take a little drought time in Texas. You understand? It's not raining everywhere in the world today. Well, it's raining on your parade. It's raining on your barbecue. It's raining on your party. Don't get too discouraged. The sun's shining somewhere around, and the sun will shine tomorrow too. And I doubt this is your last barbecue. I doubt this is your last birthday. I doubt this is your last Father's Day. I doubt this is your last hurrah. He said, don't cast away your confidence. You know what we need? We need a little more confidence in the Christian faith. You know what faith is? It's confidence. Faith is taking God at His Word and believing it enough to step out on it. Don't cast away your confidence. He said it has a great recompense of reward. Now I want you to understand something about this Bible. I've read it many times. Probably more than most people that are alive. You know something I know about it? God blesses faith. God does not always bless church attendance. God does not always bless even good health. God doesn't always bless a lot of things we think of. But God blesses faith. In fact, it comes on down here and it says, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. That's said four times in your Bible. The just shall live by faith. Let me tell you something, friend. If back there in the past you were illuminated and the light came in and you realized you were a sinner and needed a Savior and you got saved, that came by faith. It didn't come because you worked real hard. It didn't come because you were real diligent. It didn't come because you were very religious. It came because you believed the message God gave of His Son. Now, I want to tell you something else. The only way you're going to please God is you live by faith. You make your decisions on how you're going to live, how you're going to raise your kids, what kind of a marriage you're going to have, what are you going to put as a priority in your life by what God says, by faith that God knows best. The greatest blessings that have come to my life have become because I read this book and I said, I believe that. I believe it enough, we're going to put it into practice. And by doing those things, and sometimes that caused a great deal of affliction. Sometimes that caused reproach. Sometimes that caused some problems. But that's faith. taking God at His word, doing what God said to do the way God said to do it, and then just leaving the results in His hands. You discouraged, you down, you whipped, you barely walking, you hardly able to pray, hardly able to witness, hardly able to go. I know some of you in this room are that way. Don't cast away your confidence. You need to live by faith. Now he makes another couple of positive statements here, and I'll get them before I'm through. So look at verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. He that shall come, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, will come. Everything looks like it's working out pretty smooth. Boy, we bomb another country for 72 days, and we don't have to send our troops in to wipe it up. Everything looks good. We're so successful. We're so rich. We've got computers doing everything. We're living good. Air conditioning and heating. They're making more new houses in America than ever. People are making more money than ever. More jobs than ever. It's bright and rosy, isn't it? Jesus Christ is coming again. Think what you will. Be lulled asleep by the things around you. But understand me, this is not the end. This life right here, that's not the finish. That's not the finish line, and success in this life does not mean success in the next. You better wake up and take a look, because he that shall come will come. The just shall live by faith. You know what I'm living for? I'm looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want my life in order with it. He says down there, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're not of them that draw back, who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You live by faith, you believe to the saving of the soul. That's how salvation comes. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. I was illuminated 41 years ago. The light came in. My friends didn't like the changes that I made. They didn't like what came out of my mouth. They didn't mind my cussing. They didn't mind my dirty jokes. They didn't mind my drinking. They didn't mind my fighting. They didn't like my preaching. An amazing thing? I quit cussing, quit drinking, quit fighting, and they didn't like me anymore. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing. It's a funny thing to me. I look on it and I say, wow, isn't this something? There was a believer in Mexico. He was a dopehead. He was in trouble with the law. He got saved, gave up his dope, got himself right, and his mother said, I want you back like you were. You're around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're embarrassing me. I want you back like you were. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are them who believe to the saving of the soul. Today, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I bring you good tidings. Jesus Christ will forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life today. If you'll say, God, forgive me, I know I'm a sinner and I need you, He won't turn you down. He said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Great, wonderful promises. God will forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. Now you can draw back. You can say, no. I don't want that change. I'm going to be one tough macho dude. I don't want to be no soft, pudgy-handed, fat preacher. That was my thinking. I'm happy to be a soft, fat, pudgy-handed preacher. Amen. Best thing ever happened to me was come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The best thing will happen to you. If you draw back from the gospel, my friend, you may never hear the gospel again. Nobody may ever invite you to a church again. Oh, no, it'll happen, it'll happen. They keep coming. No. I can take you out to places I haven't seen anybody in years. There's a great good news. And if you believe it, it'll save your soul. And I stand before you today, maybe a very poor example, but I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Don't look at the example, look at the Savior.
Amen.
Take the promise in His book. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, well, I can put my name in whosoever. I'm going to call on the Lord, and I'm going to trust Him to save my soul and change my life. And then, my dear Christian friend, keep your eyes on the long look. Don't be discouraged about the little problems of life. Don't even be discouraged about the great, big, tough problems of life, knowing that in heaven you have a better and an enduring substance. If you're here and you're not saved, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. If you're here and you have any other burden upon your heart, this altar's open.